for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
It's a new day. Let's go. Come on.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for today. I'm going to just, I want you to take about 3 minutes. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. I want you to take just about 3 minutes, and I want you to give God praise, honor, and glory. I need you to do that in your own way, and however God gives it to you to do, just do that. For about 3 minutes, give God praise, give God honor, give God glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Thank you this morning. Out of your own heart. Out your own heart, I want you to just give God what he requires and what he asks of all of us this morning. I want you to give him honor. I want you to give him glory. I want you to give him praise this morning. Out of your heart, I said, out of your heart, out of your heart, out of your innermost being, I want you to give him praise. We have so much to honor him for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, boy. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, out of your heart this morning, I want you to thank the Lord. You ain't feeling it yet. Cause I'm over here and I should be able to feel your praise, your adoration, your honor to God. Why? Cause it's only one Holy Spirit. That's why. And when people are on one accord, but you got to be on one accord with God first. Thank you, Jesus.
I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know it was the blood for me. Come on and give him some praise. Come on and give him some praise. I know it was the blood. I know.
praise in here. Come on, come on, come on. How many know it was the blood? Put those sanctified hands together and say, I know it was the blood.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica, and good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. Worthy are you, Lord. The Lord is worthy. One thing I told the Lord this morning is that I can't measure his love for me. None of us can. For him to do what he did, come from heaven to earth, and allow all the things that happened to him to happen to him. He did it for us. We cannot measure. We don't know. We've never known, apart from God, that kind of love. So he is worthy, worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. There is no other. There is no other. Before I rose this morning, I lay in bed and I repented because of last week, what the Lord had me do with communion. So I say to you to examine yourself and repent before you partake. So I'm just going to pause for a moment and allow everyone to do that, and then I'll go ahead. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. So on Thursdays, when you know we do communion, I suggest that, you know, you go ahead and repent before we start, before we partake.
Yeah.
Because all of us need to do it. My problem is thoughts. I got to bring them thoughts under subjection.
Yeah.
But I work on it. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. Is that it?
Yes, ma'am. That's it for me.
You sure?
Yes, ma'am. I've been working on a lot of different things, and I hadn't completed anything.
Right.
I got stuff everywhere. Oh, okay. So I hadn't completed anything.
Okay, we'll wait. We'll wait. I know you got something. I just know, but we'll wait. We can wait.
Okay.
We can
get
wait.
Back to work.
Oh, you've been on vacation. All right.
Kind of, sort of.
You know, I'm gonna just say this off the kind of off track for a minute, but you know that dog Zeus is a pretty dog.
He you ought to see his coat, his mane, his coat. He's a long hair one, and he's beautiful. He's beautiful. That's why you got to go to Cartersville. Check him out.
Yeah, right by me. This is a German Shepherd, y'all, but he is a. I got pictures of him from Minister Hill's sisters. She went to, anyway, I got pictures of Zeus, dog named Zeus. And that dog, I could see the intentness in his eyes. And, man, he just standing there looking intelligent. He's like an intelligent-looking dog. I say, man, this dog is a pretty dog. He's a beautiful dog.
When she bring him. We spoil him when she bring him down here, and then she has to deal with him when she go home.
We do.
We spoil him. Everybody loves Zeus.
Because he's so pretty. And I'm just falling in love with him from a picture. You know, brothers and sisters, we had to pray for our dogs. I told you yesterday, and the headliner is listening. I know she didn't want to have to put her horse down.
Oh.
And glory be to God. We prayed, and God restored that horse 100%. I got a message for you this morning. Look up. No matter where you at right now, look up.
Where are you now when darkness seems to end? When the world is crumbling, oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child, hey, look up, child.
Look up. There's a benefit to looking up, a huge, tremendous benefit. So what I did, the message from the access, I left it on the printer, and I've been just laying one message on top of another one. Because I really want to see where they went. I want to see what the messages said when I put them all together. And you see, brothers and sisters, if you want to know what's in the heart of a person, sometimes we wonder, uh-oh, did I lose it? Oh, okay. Sometimes we wonder why bad things happen to us. Bad things happen sometime according to what God is building in us. And one thing you know, that God is always increasing your faith. Always, always. Now, what I've seen happen here with some of you is you talk a good game. You talk a real good game. But when something bad happens, when something bad happens, you run like a rabbit away from God. And I've been observing that. And then you wonder why you don't get answers. You don't get relief. And it goes all the way back again to being double-minded. See, it's pretty easy to talk a lot of rhetoric. It's easy to talk that talk. But when it comes down to the wire, are you going to walk that walk and back up that talk that you're talking? And there's a demon running around here testing people. It's a demon running around here all over the world testing people to see if their mouth, if their mindset, if their heart is going to line up with what they say out their mouth. That demon is called COVID. I happen to have been talking to a nurse a couple of days ago. And we were talking about, I don't even know how it came. It came up because God wanted it to come up. And this nurse said to me, COVID is a cold. I said, what? I said, let me hear this. God, let me hear this. The nurse said, COVID is a bad, bad cold. I said, really? They said, uh-huh. So I started thinking. And I started thinking, well, if somebody had said to me that COVID was a bad, bad cold, I would have taken it differently. But they didn't. They started telling me and you and everyone, it's a virus. And it's a virus because, I mean, if you recall, I pray for germs, virus, pray against I pray against germs, virus, and bacteria every week, at least in my whole life, in my own prayer life. I bind germs, virus, and bacteria. I speak to the DNA, my own. And so, but I wondered why I didn't have any fear of it, but I think I didn't have any fear because I don't abide in fear. I'm not crazy or anything. It's just that I take the word of God to heart. And when the Bible said that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, I believe it. I believe it. And I'm assuming that you do too. However, when I talk to some people, what they're trying to spew out of their mouth and try to get into my soul is their fear. And, you know, I'll be talking to them and I'll be watching that fear and I'll be listening to that fear and I'll be listening to all those other demons that God allows me to discern that are operating through them. And as I'm listening, I'm binding and rebuking and blocking and hindering those spirits from transferring to me. The reason I send you things through the mail is I want to break through the airways. Because the Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But you see, the devil and his trickery got people thinking, I hear this sometimes, oh, the devil is in hell. No, he's not. He's in the airways. He abides in the heavens. Oh, the devil is in hell. He's going to be cast down. But that's going to happen through Michael, the archangel. That hasn't happened yet. You know that? And so then, I've heard how Satan, I've been just kind of thinking by the Holy Ghost. I've been hearing all these people with leg problems, feet problems. And Satan tried that on my husband, on Brother Joe. Tried to attack his leg, his feet, had him fall off a ladder. But I attacked that. I attacked the devil back in that and those things. Are you doing that? Or are you running around here on the defense, running around here after the devil do something to you, and then you call yourself fighting the devil? Why don't you do preventive? Why don't you stop him? The Bible says you have power, you have authority. Why you keep allowing the devil to do something to you and then you call yourself fighting him after it's done? Why don't you do preventive maintenance? The reason you're on this line and I do deliverance is so you can be free and get rid of anything that is detracting from your virtue, from your strength, and from your glory, so that you can have power to defeat the devil, which you already have, but you cannot defeat the devil a double-minded. I'm going in the enemy's camp. I'm going to take back what he stole from me. You a lie. You a lie. Stop lying to yourself. You ain't going to go in the enemy's camp until after he do something to you. But why don't you just go in there ahead of time and get it over with? Why you keep waiting in anticipation for the devil to do something to you. Why are you doing that? You should stop the devil before he gets started. Some of you scared, if I attack the devil, he gonna attack you anyway. Don't you know that? You thinking if you don't bother him, he ain't gonna bother. That's not true. As long as you wear the name Jesus, as long as you stand for Jesus, as long as you are a member of the body of Christ, you got a bullseye on you. And the devil and his demons say, hit the target. That's the target. That Christian over there, that believer over there. The devil say, we got a mission to turn that believer into an unbeliever. And it doesn't matter what we have to do it. We'll kill their mama. We'll kill their daddy. We'll kill their kids. We'll kill their pets, their animals. Just give us one tiny little crack to get in. We'll kill their business. We'll kill their education. Why don't you stop the devil beforehand? You can do that. You know why? Because look here. This is what I have for this morning. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs. Chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Remember, as I mentioned yesterday, just as Moses lifted up that snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. I ask you to read, and I ask you to read Matthew 6. Moses, having that copper or bronze snake on a pole, was foreshadowing Jesus dying on the cross. And I know, because I got this. The snake represents evil, Sister Erica. Jesus represents good. How does that make sense? That's what somebody asked me yesterday in a text. I didn't answer him. Well, your answer is, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I know if you didn't understand that, you probably don't understand this. So I'm going to break it down a little bit. Jesus became what he wasn't so that you could become how you were created to be. Again, Jesus became what he wasn't so that we could become how we were created to be. On that cross, Jesus took all of our failures, all of our shame, and all of our guilt. Now, whoever looks up at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and believes in him will live. Whoever looks up, that's why I said this morning playing that song, look up. Look up and live. Because whoever looks up at Jesus and believes in Jesus will live. You see, when our life doesn't work out as we, you and I, have planned it, the strategy of the enemy is to make us worry, to make us doubtful, and to make us eventually become fearful. However, in those moments, instead of focusing on the problem, instead of looking at what's around you related with the problem, we have to learn to look up and focus. Hallelujah. And focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when you focus on the Lord Jesus, you will find your faith to be restored. When you focus on Jesus, God allows you to gain the wisdom and have the knowledge to overcome any difficulties in your path. Why? I just told you why. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Add that to your cards. Add Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 in your card box. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You see, brothers and sisters, God gave us an example of what trap not to fall into. Remember, it was 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion. Two women went to his tomb to anoint his body. But when they got there, they saw that the huge stone to the entrance had been rolled away. That did not stop them. They went on in that tomb. The Bible says, and there stood a man, or there stood what appeared to be in the appearance of a man, but it was an angel. And the angel was wearing bright glistening, or a bright glistening robe. And the angel was sitting next to where Jesus' body should have been. But there was an angel . The women felt terrified. They bowed their heads, the Bible says. But I want you to listen to what the angel said. I want you to hear what God had speak to a supernatural manifestation of a spiritual being on earth. The angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. What the angel was saying in plain, simple English language was this. Why in your mind and in your heart, why even in your faith, you came here looking for a dead man? But he told you he wasn't going to be dead. Why are you treating the Son of Man? Why are you treating Jesus? Why, brothers and sisters? Why are you treating God just like you would treat another human being? Why are you looking for God through the eyes of fear? Why are you trying to look for God through a heart full of doubt and unbelief? You see, too many of us are still locked by negative thinking. Too many of us are still locked by a carnal and fleshly mindset, thinking you got to know how God's plans are going to work out every step of the way. Not able to see any possible way that your problem or your difficulty could resolve itself. But like those two women that entered into that tomb and were met by an angel, you're going to have to resolve in your heart today to stop looking and stop seeing from a human viewpoint. Because you are more than just a human being. You're a human being, but you happen to also be a spirit connected to the divine spirit of God. But when you look through the eyes of fear and doubt and unbelief, let me tell you what happens. That fear will blind you. That fear will close your ears up. Fear will not allow you to even perceive the goodness and the greatness of God's ability. That negativity from that fear will numb your spiritual senses. Hallelujah. But guess what? The Holy Spirit will restore your senses in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When you look up, hallelujah, God will empower you to take the steps of faith and drive out all that negativity, all that doubt, all that unbelief, all that fear. God will bring you back into the shalom of God. God's own peace, God's own harmony will enter and dominate when you step up to the plate and cast the devil down. When you cast the devil out from around your atmosphere, when you stop thinking that the obstacle is bigger than your God, thinking that devil virus is going to get the best of you. When you stop looking and thinking from the lying, deceptive human viewpoint, God wants you to look up. God wants you to step up. God wants you to realize, understand, and take a hold of that through faith in him, all things become possible. Through faith in him, all obstacles will be removed. That through faith in him, you have available to you an inner strength to move forward, an inner drive led by his own Holy Spirit to go forward, an inner glory, an inner honor that comes out when you honor your God, when you praise your God, when you make your God just what he is, bigger than. When you put before your eyes content that instills your faith to grow, that causes your faith to leap forward, when you dwell on faith, when you dwell on the faith of God, when you dwell on faith in God and faith of God, you begin to feel your strength being restored. You begin to feel your courage and your determination rising up from within you, not from outside of you. You begin to accept the truth because you feel it. You know it. When God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 and 10. You see, in Isaiah 8, the Bible says, do not fear what they fear. When the majority looks afraid, worried, and negative, you have to say to yourself, I'm not falling into that trap. I'm not going to think weak, and I'm not going to think small, defeated thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to think thoughts of faith in God. I'm going to think thoughts of peace, which comes from God. And I'm going to think thoughts of health and life, which is Jesus. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to be strong for myself I'm going to be strong for my family. And I'm going to be strong for my friends. I'm going to be a living voice. A living voice of faith in a world of fear. Isaiah 8 says, do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Isaiah 8:12-13. You see, brothers and sisters, our Lord God Almighty is the one that we are to regard as holy. Our Lord God Almighty, he is the one that you are to fear. He is the one that you are to dread. And brothers and sisters, because we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. How? Through God. Through God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. When you look to Jesus, your mind shifts from your natural carnal mind to the mindset that you have to overcome this world. You have to have, and you must maintain, the mind of Christ. It's not like the world. It cannot be. It cannot be for you and me, because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I'm going to tell you today, look up. Look up. And let the Lord instill the right thoughts in your mind. Because you have. And don't ever forget it, the mind of Christ. Look up and live.
Where are you now when darkness seems to end? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child. Hey, look up.
horses down a road that had no end. I was walking through this fire. I was living on the run with my flesh lost in desire. I was drowning in the flood. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. I am far from being perfect. There are days that I regret. On this battlefield I struggle with the life that I have lived. I have fallen short of glory. I can't make it on my own. If you can't reckon my past, I'd be sinking like a stone. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. But God, strong and mighty, you reached down for me so I could rise. And now I'm breathing in. You came to save me. Now I'm alive. My God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm breathing in. Thank you.